So in verse 16 of Matthew 19, it says this, Now behold, one came and said to him, Jesus, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus turned and said to his disciples, Assuredly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So there's a few things I want to point out from this. Just bring to light. You know, this was a rich young ruler at the time. And he come up to Jesus and he's like, What do I have to do to be saved? And then the discussion goes on. You know, Jesus says, Well, keep the commandments. Well, we all know keeping the commandments and being a good person does not save you. So what Jesus was doing was he was asking a question and he was provoking a conversation to get to the real root of the problem. And so he started it with that, and you know, the young man says, Well, I've kept all those. You know, he says, Which ones? Jesus starts naming the Ten Commandments, and then the young man says, Well, I've done all that. I've kept them from since I was little. And so, of course, you know, then Jesus says, Well, then go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Then the young man goes away sorrowful. So, there is a point here. There are several, actually. One, we all know that works does not get us to heaven. Doing good deeds does not get us to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do good works. We do. That doesn't mean we don't obey the commandments. We do. If we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves believers, we live right. We stay away from drugs and alcohol. We stay away from lying. We stay away from those, from sin, from stealing, from adultery, from, you know, sex outside of marriage and all of those things. We stay away from those things. It doesn't mean, you know, he's not saying to him, you know, he said he kept them from his youth, but yet, you know, Jesus says, Well, you know, then go and sell. What Jesus was saying, but the young man knew he was lacking something. He knew it. He had obeyed all the stuff, but he knew he was still lacking something. And Jesus said, he went straight to the issue. Okay, then go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He went away sorrowful. He walked away from eternal life. He walked away from it. Why? Because his possessions were more important to him than Jesus. You know, as believers, as Christians, as people who come to church, let's just put it this way, as people who come to church, it is possible to come to church for 20 years and not know Jesus? It's more than possible. It happens every day. It's happened for years, centuries even. Especially nowadays. It's possible to call ourselves Christians and not know Him and be lacking that one thing like the rich young ruler. It's possible to have everything and have all our ducks in a row and be a good person and do good deeds. Obey the commandments and still be lacking eternal life. The relationship with Jesus is what it's all about. He said, come and follow me. Get rid of all you have. What was he doing? Not everybody has to get rid of all they have. Not everybody did. Not everybody does. But the issue with this man was he was rich, and those things were what was important, obviously, because that's what Jesus dealt with. And he refused to give them away and walked away sorrowful. Why? Because he knew. He knew. He knew in his heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been sad. He could have walked away laughing. He could have walked away rolling his eyes like, that's crazy. It doesn't say he did that. He walked away sorrowful. So he knew. He knew what he was walking. He knew. He understood. So he just said, no, I don't want that, and walked away, but yet sad because he knew what he was walking away from. Because his question to Jesus is, what must I do to have eternal life? What do I need? Well, obey the commandments. Well, I do that. Okay, then go sell all you have and come to Jesus. Then he gets to the heart of the matter, the real issue. You know, basically saying, you don't know me, you're not following me. Your possessions are more important than God. You may keep all the commandments, but, you know. And, you know, he goes on to say this. He turns to the disciples and says, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I really believe he was talking specifically about this young man. And, yeah, maybe, you know, those who have a whole lot, it is more difficult because if you got money to pay for the problem and you don't have to rely on Jesus, there's difficulty. There's something to that. But like he said to the disciples, it is impossible with men, but it's not impossible with God. So it is difficult for all of us to come to salvation. But I know it was for me. I don't know about you, but I was stubborn. I was hard-headed. It took a while. It took God to get my attention. And most of us is the same, you know, same thing. But, you know what he said about the eye of a needle? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And so the disciples are like, oh, it's impossible. Well, in that day in Jerusalem, there was a gate on the side of Jerusalem, on the city. And it was a small gate, and it was so narrow, you had to squeeze through it. And people, when they came with their camels, and camels were usually carried loads of stuff, when they came to this particular gate, they would have to completely unload their camel and squeeze this camel through that gate. Well, that gate was called the Eye of a Needle. Wow. That was the name of the gate. That's what they called it. So everything had to be stripped off and pushed through. The camel got through, then they brought all the stuff through, then they loaded it back on. So Jesus says to this rich young ruler, go sell all that you have. Unload your stuff.
Wow.
Get rid of the junk that's getting in the way of you and me. And you following me. See, what he didn't realize, and then he turns to the disciples and says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I really believe that was cultural. I believe that was speaking, he was alluding to that. He always used things that were around at the time to illustrate his point. I really believe that's what he was alluding to. And it makes a ton of sense to think about. No, it's not impossible. It's just difficult. Because when we have stuff that we don't want to let go of, it's difficult to come to Jesus. because we don't want to let go of the stuff. And it doesn't have to be wealth. It can be any number of sin issues. And I'm not saying wealth is sin, because we should be blessed. Jesus was not poor.
Right.
Contrary to popular things and teachings and stuff like that, he was not poor. If you're poor, you do not need a Judas to carry your money bag around. Sorry. And if you're poor, they don't fight over your robe when you're being crucified, because it's worth a lot of money. And cast lots for it. That doesn't happen. But I want to contrast this with something. You know, we got stuff we don't want to let go of to come to know Him. We can, like the rich young ruler, obeyed all the commandments. We could come to church for years and still be missing that thing. That thing is a relationship with Jesus Christ. A legitimate, real one. Not a fake one. Not a I am this or I am that, but an actual, real relationship with Him. A knowing Him. And you know, something in our heart, we deep down, we know when we know Him and when we don't. But let me step off this trail for just a second and say something also. When we know that we know Him and we've had a real encounter with Him and we love Jesus, we also should not beat ourselves up all the time. Because He's not about that either. When He forgave us once for everything. Does that mean we don't repent? No, we do. King David taught us that. Repent quickly. Repent passionately. We have to fight against sin and keep it out of our lives, because the wages of sin is death. What is death? Separation. It causes a separation, a distance between us and God. It affects the relationship. Above all, guard your heart. Well, guarding our heart is guarding that relationship with Jesus Christ. That is paramount. That is the most important. And you know what the thing is if we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, if we love Jesus and we keep that relationship number one, and that is priority, obeying the commandments will happen naturally. It won't be something I have to stop and think, oh, don't steal that. I won't even want to, neither will you. If you know Him. If I know Him, the next time I'm in a place somewhere, and this has happened when I've been at my jobs, I've been in places where they were doing drugs in the next room and I'm working on the house. It's happened. And they come in the room and, hey Rick, you want some? No, I do not. Why? Because I love Jesus. I don't want it. I have no desire. Because it affects my soberness. It affects my relationship with Jesus, because it's wrong. Because my relationship with Him, I love Him. And I know the things that grieve Him. And I know the things that bother Him and affect His heart. It's the same as if Paula, the things that I know hurt her heart or would bother her, I will not do. Because I love Him. So loving Jesus, I know the things He wouldn't approve of. You know, anything that I wouldn't do if He was standing right here, that's a pretty good way to look at it. Anything you wouldn't do if He was standing right there, don't do it. It's simple. It's not hard. Temptation, yeah, it's tempting. But it's only tempting when we think we're not going to get caught and nobody's looking and He's not looking. But here's the thing. We know, but we forget in those moments He's right there. He sees everything. And He loves us. And if we've done that, and if we've lived that way, and if we've messed up, even today, He is quick to forgive if we ask. He's quick. David knew that. He understood that. He was passionate about that. You know, Paul talked about that, how Samuel... How Solomon's heart was different, because as he went through his life in later years, he wrote Ecclesiastes because he was in depression because he had been disobedient to God, and he followed these women and he worship these other gods and gotten done with. I want you to think about this. Pause for a minute. Mr. Wisdom. Okay? The guy who said, I want wisdom. The guy that God gave it and granted it to. The wealthiest man to ever live, as far as I know. That had a relationship with God. Trailed off because he didn't repent. He didn't have a repentant heart. Did he know God? Absolutely. Did he trail off? Yeah. That's why he wrote Ecclesiastes in depression. See, if you really have an encounter with Jesus and you trail off, what comes from that is depression. Because it's like your heart knows. Like the rich young ruler, he walked away in sorrow because he knew. He knew what he wasn't willing to give up. He knew he wasn't willing to submit to God and do what was right. He wanted something else more than Jesus. It is the same, it is a simple principle, and it is the same for us today. It is no different. It has not changed. If we want something more than Jesus, then that something is what we'll go for. And that something is what will separate us from Him, or it is what will keep us from Him. Let me give you a contrast. Rich young ruler comes up to Jesus having, you know, I just want to establish this, okay? Rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he says, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. And then he starts naming the commandments. Then the rich young ruler says, I've obeyed all those from my youth. Did Jesus argue with him? No, you didn't. No. He didn't say you haven't. He didn't. That means he did. He'd obeyed the commandments. That means he had walked it out. So here's a man who's got it together, who's good. It's upper in society. He's coming in. And he has done the right things. He's obeyed the commandments. He's followed the law. And he is coming to Jesus saying, what more do I need to do? So beyond that, he's also coming to Jesus saying, what else do I need to do to be saved? I mean, he's genuinely coming to ask. I want to know. But yet, when Jesus gives him the response, dealing with his issue, what he's not willing to let go of, he walks away. Contrast. Thief on the cross. A robber. A convicted person. Scripture says that two men are hanging on each side of the cross when Jesus is being crucified. One of the men is mocking Jesus, just like everybody else is. You know, why can't you get us down from here and, you know, being ugly? The other one rebukes him. Says, do you not... You know, we says to him, me and you, the one that's mocking and the other thief, me and you deserve what we get. We've actually been tried, found guilty. We actually did the crime. He did not. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And immediately Jesus says, today, you will be with me in paradise. This, let me be clear, this is a man that didn't follow all the commandments from his youth. This is a man that didn't have it all together. But yet, he received salvation that moment. Why? Because when he turned to Jesus and said, remember me, he was acknowledging who Jesus was. He realized who Jesus was. And he turned to him and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he had also, just before that, rebuked the person mocking. His heart was for Jesus. God knows our hearts. He can see right into them. If that man had had an opportunity to obey whatever Jesus said, even if he wasn't hanging there on the cross, I know that God knows he would have. And that's what's important. And the rich young ruler was an illustration. Yes, it happened. Yes, but it is written for an example for us to learn from. And that example is, whatever it is that is more important to God in our lives, we have to deal with it. We have to make sure and realize that we deal with our hearts and that we're paying attention to whatever that thing is, and that we are looking at it, and that we deal with it, and we kill it, crucify it, get rid of it, give it away, whatever it is, and set it in its right place and obey God. Because if we love Jesus, we will do the things that we know He loves. Because we love Him. Not because we're mindless dummies doing whatever we're told, but because He first loved us and we love Him because of that. Because He took the punishment for our sin and we don't have to now. Because He can take us and completely turn our situation and our life around in an instant and forevermore. I love Jesus. That's why I do what I do. Because trust me, it's a lot easier not to. It is. I've lived both ways. Before I knew Jesus, it is a lot easier not to. On the side of difficulty, whatever. It's not really a lot easier. It is suffering, but you just don't realize. You know, but I'm saying you get to do whatever you want. But here's the thing. You get to do whatever you want and you think it's easier. It's really a deception. Because loving Jesus, you still get to do whatever you want. It's just whatever you want changes the moment He comes into your heart.
That's so good.
The moment He comes into your heart, the whatever you want changes. See, that rich young ruler was a breath away from whatever he wanted changing, and he refused it. A breath away. He was standing face to face with Jesus. God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, in flesh, walking on this earth, and he walked away. The moment we genuinely ask Jesus to come into our heart and forgive us of our sin, and we choose to lay down whatever that thing is that we really want to do and we know is wrong. See, coming to Him, you hear it, you don't clean up and then come to Him, and that's true. But there's a thing that says, you know, we must repent. Repent means turning away. So in the moment we come to Him, there is a decision made. There is a turning away that happens, a turning away from that thing. And that rich young ruler did not do that. He refused to turn away, to repent of what he was coveting, his wealth, his riches, what he had, and come to Jesus. And he was a breath away, and all he had to do was take two steps forward and say, I'll follow you. And then go get rid of whatever and sell it to the poor, like Jesus said, and follow Him. Every one of us have those things, or have had those things in our lives that we've had to walk away from, whatever it is. But my question to you tonight is, have you ever had that real and genuine experience where you're a breath away and you step forward, not walked away sorrowful? And to be honest with you, not just prayed a prayer because people were watching. I'm just going to be real. I like to be blunt. Truth is good. It hurts, but it's good. Because it feels good later. When it sets things right.